RK's teleconference, kosher teleconference, also brought to you on the web at dimdim.com. We have some people joining us by telephone and some people joining us through the web. We're brought to you by kosherclasses.org, which is our outreach site for kosher issues. And we're very glad that you joined us today. If you have a question, you want to make a comment, ask a question, we very much enjoy to discuss with you. So if you're joining us by web, you can chat with us. On the right side of the screen, you'll see a chat box that we can read here. If you're joining us through the telephone, so feel free to press 1-1 on your keypad, and that will show us over here that you have a question. We'll be able to recognize you. When we do, you'll hear the computer tell you that you are recognized. If you're by telephone and you want to raise the volume, press *0 repeatedly, and that should raise the volume. So that takes care of the technical information. I want to thank Reb Zev Steen, who's our right-hand man over here on the left side, helping us run the show. And if you have any questions on the chat, his username is Kosher Tech. Today, we're joined by Rabbi Kurzfeld. And Rabbi Kurzfeld is not a stranger to this program. He's been here a number of times. And we're very thankful he took out time from what I know is a very busy schedule to join us. Today is Erev Tisha B'Av, the day before Tisha B'Av. Tonight is the ninth day of the month of Av, which is the saddest day of the year in the Jewish calendar, because the two temples were destroyed on this day many years ago. And so this conference will be a little bit muted, not as jovial as it normally would be, in keeping with the spirit of the times. Now, and because of that, we decided that we would talk about this period of time as far as it relates to the laws of kosher. So that's why Rabbi Kurzfeld takes care of, among other things, the local establishments, the restaurants and hotels, and it is impacted during these 9 days and the 3 weeks period by the kosher laws that are in effect. So what do you want to start with?
Maybe we should start a little bit about the policies and the rules and regulations we have during the 3 weeks and during the 9 days. Here in the Baltimore area, as far as the policies of the Star K, I'll share with you a couple of things that we do here differently. First of all, in our restaurants, we do not allow any music to be played during the 3 weeks while people are eating. And the only thing that Rav Heinemann allows is to have true a cappella singing. I do want to caution those who are listening that sometimes the a cappella CDs that are put out are not really 1,000% true a cappella. There is some musical instruments that have been refined and made as part of the thing. But
a cappella is when there's not
just voices.
Just voices.
Right.
I've heard some of them. They can really sound as if there's
mamish like music.
They're really...
Because some of them is... Music, if you look carefully on the jacket, you'll find that some of them will tell you there is some instrumentation that has been put into it. The other thing is we do not, of course, serve any sit-down meat dishes, nor do we offer any wine. Now, that is unusual. It's not found in many cities, that here in Baltimore you can't even have meat, even if there is an available 9-day menu. In many cities they allow as meat to be served as a sit-down as long as there's also offered a 9-day option.
So a 9-day option would mean like a fish menu.
Or vegetarian.
Or a vegetarian menu,
right.
Because during these days we don't eat meat because of the meat, usually meat and wine brings joy.
Exactly.
And these days are not ones of joy. Okay, so we don't allow any sit down to be served.
Right.
But if you come in and you want to buy takeout?
But if you wanted to buy takeout meat, then you can.
Now, what's the logic behind that?
And because technically there are people who possibly could be, are allowed to eat meat for whatever reason they may, if they're sick, or some other halachic exceptions. But at the same time, since we don't want to start any challenges or any contentions and start explaining why this person's eating meat and why that person's not eating meat, why I can't and why she can, and just therefore in the actual facility we don't allow meat, unless it's an obvious thing, which we all know halachically, which is an obvious siyum, where a group of 10 or more have gotten together and there's an actual private siyum. We don't do the siyumim where there's a bacher or somebody comes in and does a siyum for the whole restaurant. And then
so they're making a tractate of Talmud or some other lengthy learning, and they're making basically a party.
A party in that situation.
And so then the law is that they're allowed to eat meat during the 9 days.
Exactly.
So we allow that.
We allow that in that situation.
And how would anybody walking into the restaurant know that it is a conclusion of a tractate? They put a big sign?
We don't have a big sign, but I think it's very obvious to everybody. And if somebody would ask the mashgiach, we'll tell them that's an exception.
Okay.
So those are the only exception.
And the people coming in, they're taking out food, so we can make it. We have a right to assume that maybe they're taking for somebody who's ill.
Permitted.
Maybe they have a CM at home. Or maybe somebody's ill, or maybe they have some whatever.
Or like we have the situation right now for Shabbos. Of course, you can buy. So all our food service facilities, like the supermarkets and the those who are doing the, you know, takeout foods, our takeout facilities, will be open in the afternoon even on Tisha B'Av, because it is Thursday and people have to get ready for Shabbos.
Now, if I can mention, the reason you said that Baltimore is different is because other cities allow sit-down, right?
Sit-down as long as there is a nine-day menu option.
As long as there's a nine-day menu option, they'll allow sit-down.
That's correct.
And I've heard from Rabbi Heineman, and you probably have heard the same thing. The reasoning that they allow that, there's a logic to it. Because if you're going to close down the restaurant and say nobody can come here and eat meat, so then many of the people who go to kosher are not, they want to have a meat meal.
Exactly.
And if there's no place in the city that they can get a kosher meat meal,
exactly,
people may go to a non-kosher restaurant. So to avoid that, so they allow the meat meal sit down.
And I'd also like to add that this is really the same concept on fast days. At the Star K, we do not allow any sit down during fast days, only takeout food. So there is no place here in town. All the chairs are put up or put to the side.
But that's dairy or meat.
Dairy or meat.
Or pirate, whatever you're
buying. No, but I meant the
buying.
Concept that, right. that this is an exception in the sense that other cities don't get involved in that. You want to fast, you fast. You don't want to fast, you don't fast. In this town, I'm not going to tell you to fast, but if Hyman wants to make the point, and therefore if you, for some reason, you are permitted to eat, you're really supposed to do it not openly in public.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, since you maybe you are permitted to eat, but the halacha is that you should not be eating in public, so therefore, please take it home, and you're entitled to eat, please, but not in the restaurant itself.
If you go into a restaurant on a fast day, you'll find the chairs up.
Right.
And that gives everybody the idea that they're not allowed to sit down. What about on Tisha B'Av, which would be tomorrow? Are the restaurants?
No, the restaurants won't be open on Tisha B'Av because simply, first of all, it's not practical.
Why is it not practical?
No one can have any business.
Oh, no.
It's from a practical reason. They're spending a lot of money for absolutely no reason.
I see.
Secondly, it's not in the spirit of the day. Even if we would hold that we would allow sit down on fast days, Tisha B'Av is a different league. And plus, the mashgichim themselves have a lot of, you know, they have to be in shul because of kinnis and those type of things.
Okay.
Like, we even close early tonight because of Eicha. So,
the mashgiach, the supervisors, are not available, really. They have to,
well, we can open later, but it's just much more difficult.
So we don't open on
exactly
on Tisha B'Av, even though you're allowed to do work on
exactly,
Tisha B'Av,
sure.
But it's not worth it. Okay.
I do want to share something else though with the Olam that's listening, and that is the challenges of setting up the back, which the consumer and the customers do not see. When you're doing a restaurant throughout the year, let's say a meat restaurant, of course, throughout the year. And it's a meat place. As it is difficult if you have a fish menu available throughout the year. You must have a good setup of not having a cross contamination between the fish and the meat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a challenge in general. Here at the Star K, when we set up a restaurant with a fish and meat, you know, type of challenge, it is exclusively 100% separate kalim, separate equipment, complete separate areas. Not just the fish itself, but any food that gets served with that fish will be something that is not fleshic, that will make you fleshic 6 hours, that you have to because you ate that.
Let me just step back a second.
Sure.
The fish and meat, the reason that they have to be separate, and this doesn't have anything to do with the 9 days, it's all year.
That's right.
Is that the rabbis say that eating meat and fish together, it has a certain danger to it, which we can't...
Health issue.
And we can't really, we don't know really how to explain that, but we take the rabbi's word, and when therefore it becomes a Jewish law, a kosher law, that you have to have separation.
Exactly.
So that's the challenge. So you can't, there can't be contamination, cross-contamination.
Right, but this goes a little further throughout the year. So besides that, in the back kitchen, we have to set up a system of having everything separate in every shape or form that it can't be cross-contaminated. A lot of times what the public does not know or doesn't realize, and matter of fact, I had a story just this week with a different place that I went to go visit, and that is that the side dishes that are being served with that fish also has to be something that's not fleshy. I'll give you an example that actually occurred, is that I went to a facility that was having a 9-day menu. I was reviewing it just in general for other things. I saw they had a 9-day menu. But they were frying the falafel balls in the same fryer that they were frying the chicken. Now, if that's the case, the falafel balls, if you would eat it, they're actual fleshik. And first of all, they would make you fleshik for 6 hours. And secondly, during the 9 days, for sure you also cannot eat it. So from a two-sided issue. And
we have that a lot with French fries.
With French fries in the deck.
And made in the meat.
And the same
oil that's used for meat.
A deep fryer. The same deep fryer that you do for oil. And I don't.
Because oil stays around for a while, right?
You know, yeah, absolutely.
More than people want to know.
Well, maybe. But the main thing is that a lot of times the consumers are not informed at some of these restaurants when they put items out. They are not informed that be aware throughout the year that if you eat that product, you're going to be fleshed for 6 hours.
I just want to interrupt you a second.
Sure.
We have a comment that is along the same lines as you're saying, Rabbi Kurtzfeld. David comments over here on our chat that in a certain area, Mashkiach noticed quite a while after a Chinese place was open, I guess a restaurant, that the same spices were used for fish and meat. Meaning the same box. The spices were in a large open containers, and the cook just scooped out a bunch of spices with a fishy or meaty spoon or spatula. So he's got dripping meat on his spoon, and he dips it into the spices,
right.
And he puts it into the, and then he comes back the next next meal, and he takes a fishy spoon and he puts it in, and that is going to cause a cross contamination. And he says that the mashgiach had it promptly fixed when he realized what was happening.
And that is the way Chinese works. The way Chinese works, first of all, it's fast cooking. It's not like we do like your mother does at home, where she bakes a chicken for 2 hours. It's a very, very fast cooking.
Why is it
in a wok. It's the way the Chinese is made. It's very quick, very, very fast. And the way they do Chinese cooking in the back is that there's one central area of all the different spices that they need, depending on what type of dish that they're preparing. And it's extremely quick, and they take a little bit of this. They don't even measure it. They know already from the chefs know what they're doing. And that's what this mashgiach is referring to, that there's cross-contamination if you don't set it up. So getting back to our issue, so throughout the year you have to have separation. Now when you expand the menu, because you have to offer more variety of items to make a 9-day menu, it's even a little bit more challenging to have a real good system set up in the back where everything is partitioned, not just partitioned just in a general type of concept, but visually. I'm always very particular about visual. That speaks more than any mashgiach can say. It is simply that everybody understands clearly where the demarcation lines are, which equipment, which utensils, what items, everything gets marked.
You mean marked like red or
whatever it is,
blue.
And each place we did it a little differently depending on the place, but whatever it was, the point being that these equipment, this area, everything down the line. We even make the parv, the parv egg rolls. For those who want to have a fish menu throughout the year, and specifically during the 9 days, we even have different egg rolls. They're shaped differently, so we know which ones they are. And we make different shapes for the Chinese noodles. People don't realize when you go into a Chinese restaurant, as you order, they put down Chinese noodles in front of you, fried noodles, for dipping.
Mm-hmm.
99% of those noodles, 99.9% of the time, they are fleshik 6 hours. And therefore, if someone is being served an entree of fish, well, there's a big problem. So we actually have separate looking, we've cut the ones that are deep fried for fish are cut separately, they're kept parve, and you get served a different egg, Chinese noodle when you get fish.
So that way you know that it's...
We know which one is the fish one and which one is the meat one.
But when you walk in and sit down at the table, they
yes.
put it down right away.
Well, we have it now that it comes later.
Oh, really?
We'll get a little bit, but it depends. But you're right, it's possible.
But if you would walk in...
But you, our menu says that it's fleishik. Right. You will get served. I can't say it's never.
Okay.
But at the end, if you order fish, they will remove that and switch it to the other one.
Very good. Good. That takes work.
So that takes care of that area of the 9-day issue. We also had to go just add one last issue, one last nekuda with the 9-day menu is a lot of the equipment had to be physically koshered because we at the Starkey are makbid not to use the same equipment for both fish and meat.
In other words, even though people in their homes may cook their gefilte fish
in the same pot
in the meat pot, many people do, many people
right.
don't.
We don't.
But as a policy. We don't.
Right, but everyone will agree that on a grill, those who know what a flat top grill is, and some things like that, it's necessary to kosher because it's beyond just kalim.
You can't just clean.
You can't right. There's actual tremendous
residue.
Amount of residue
right.
of the meat because that's where they did the grilling of
right.
the steak and all that.
Right.
But I do want to say to the Olam again that just as a general comment throughout the year, I've gone to places, and this particular issue that comes up during the 9 days is something that is prevalent throughout the year. I've come to places and I've seen how they set up fish and meat, and it is like three tops of the grill here are for meat, and the fourth one is for fish, and it's like, it really doesn't... It doesn't make a lot of sense
right.
to me when I've seen it.
I just want to pause for a second. I'm Rabbi Tzvi Goldberg, and I was speaking here with Rabbi Meir Kurzfeld. We're both in the Star K offices in Baltimore. We're assisted by Reb Zev Steen. On the technical side, and we're speaking about the laws that apply particularly to this time of year, the 9 days of the month of Av, the 3 weeks preceding the ninth of Av, and issues that surround them. So what else do we have to
Another thing about the 9 days is that how do you handle, like we have here, a hotel type of environment, and they book events, believe it or not, we have, it has happened, and it's right now happening, a halal group of Muslims who come to sometimes to these hotels.
And they will only eat kosher.
And they, you know, they
won't eat.
Right, so they order kosher not because they're Jewish,
right.
but because they're, you know, they're Muslim, but you don't have halal hashkachas around the country on a regular basis for hotels. So instead they are agreeable that kosher will meet their halal standards. And we have right now a group of 150 Muslims that are right now having their conference, and they have kosher. So, of course, being that they are not Jewish, they're entitled to meat, and they're entitled to everything. There's also issues of Shabbos that get involved in this, and what is permitted. Believe it or not, it becomes a little more challenging in halakha, without going through all the details, but it becomes more challenging in halakha what you're allowed to do for a goy, for a non-Jewish person. A lot of times on Yontif specifically, which we've had non-Jewish groups on a Yontif in some of these places, and this is an issue where, as you know, you're allowed to do for a Jew sometimes more than what you're allowed to do for a non-Jew on a Yontif. So these are challenges that sometimes have to be dealt with. But getting back to the 9-day issue, so we have half the group in the area is this halal group, and they have a right to eat meat. And we have another group of young people with their staff who are Jewish, and then of course they're not allowed to eat meat. And again, right. to make them, there shouldn't be no contentions, no one should complain, especially when they're not religious Jews. So we make them understand the difference, and they have to understand that.
Half of the dining room.
Well, it's not the same time.
Oh,
we will not
feed
at the same time. No, there's an hour gap between the
because of this reason.
Well, because we have to turn over the room. They don't eat together. They're separate groups.
Oh, but if it was not during this time, they could eat together.
But I'm saying, but
now we don't do it for practical.
I mean, but practical. Well, first not practical. But the conference is a separate conference.
Oh,
they're separate groups.
Okay, so you serve one of them first.
But we will serve the meat
to the Muslim.
And then they finish, and then the next group. Then they turn over the room, and the next they stagger them. so they don't eat together at the same time in the dining. But I'm just bringing it to your attention that sometimes you're challenged by this, and sometimes you have to make shalom, you know, with people sometimes get
offended. People get upset, why can't I have meat?
Right. But there are other things like this throughout the year.
Right.
When we have events that happen, we've had many challenges like this, and you try to avoid you don't want to insult people, but at the same time, they have to realize that they're held to a different standard than a non-Jew is held.
Right. I want to mention again, if anybody has any questions, you can chat in with us. We enjoy taking your comments or questions on this or any other topic that's on your mind. If you have a question by phone, hit 1-1 on your keypad, and we'll see that you have a question. What about after a fast? Is anybody opening up tomorrow night?
No one is opening up tomorrow night after the fast. No. Mm-hmm. There's no one opening up after the fast.
But on other fasts, like this, like the fast we had 3 weeks ago, they would open.
Well, but the problem, again, it's not
or especially
practical.
In the winter. How about in the winter?
In wintertime, they would, yes.
In the winter, when it's a shorter day.
When it's a shorter day, they will open up after the fast. They'll ask me what time they can have.
Right. I remember I hear those calls, though, because our offices are adjoining. So I oftentimes
I hear
Rabbi Kurzweil giving out the time.
Exactly. What time they can actually.
What time they're allowed to open. I mean, they could be open, but what time they can allow to sit down.
Sit down. They're open for takeout.
They're open for takeout. What,
right.
time can they pull down the
chair? And this year it's going to get a little bit differently, because this year it's really you can't be eating the meat until Chatzos on Friday. There's no permission yet to eat the meat.
This year, so
because it's on a Thursday. So
on. Let's step back a second.
Yes.
So you can't eat meat during a Jew should not eat meat during the 9 days of Av, with the exceptions that we've been discussing.
Exactly.
Except on, and even on the 10th, till midday, he should not eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this year it's on Friday, so there are certain leniencies, like to wash their clothes, take a haircut in the morning, but that's because that's for the honor of Shabbos, and this is no eating meat on Friday
right.
is no honor of Shabbos.
Right.
So therefore, we still hold that they can't eat meat until
approximately 1:15,
which is
approximately 1:13, 1:15.
The midday of the Jewish day.
Exactly right.
So
which is this year somewhere.
So in Baltimore, it's about 1:15.
Well, I told them 1:15 is an easier.
Because then they open up and people come running into the restaurant.
Possible. It's just it's possible. It's a long day.
We're talking about for meat.
Yes.
To sit down and get meat.
Yes, to be able to start going back to meat.
Okay.
So that's just an interesting.
Right.
And then we have to do a little bit of what we've done, but everything.
You have to switch back.
So we did all your fish. Yeah, we have to switch back.
So when do you switch back to kosher?
Well, because that area that we kept right now for fish, that we're doing fish in most places, it is the regular place. But the place that we extended for fish in another place will be eventually get converted back.
Not Friday morning, I guess.
No, not Friday morning.
Okay.
No, not Friday morning.
So you want to speak? Let's go to another topic. We just had the seminar, our yearly seminar, we had about 25, 26 young men.
Yeah.
And we want to talk about how that went.
It was very
exciting. It's very exciting for us here.
I'll tell you, for us, at least personally for me, I can speak for myself, that I find it exciting. The first of all is that you can always see the amazement of the Olam, especially as it progresses, day by day. This is something that's all the way from Monday all the way to Thursday, and you're with them a group of anywhere from 25 to 30 throughout the day and for a couple of days, and you get to know each other. And what always amazes me is at the end, you can always see how they are really, really taken aback. They finally really get a sense by Thursday. They had no hasaga, they had no idea of what this is going to really mean. And at the end, they really have a true appreciation and a true understanding of what the challenges are to do kashrus today. It is not your home, and how you have to really think, and things that they would never dream that you have to think about, that if you don't address it in advance, it's going to be problematic. And I think they had a deeper appreciation and value for what it takes to do kashrus and all the different aspects of kashrus.
And I think they appreciate that we enjoy explaining these things.
Yeah.
We like to, we enjoy explaining about kosher and the kosher laws. That's why we do this program.
Right.
One of the things that we do, we have our kashrus currents and we have our magazines. And, when I started out with them, I gave the introduction to the seminar. I said, we've been doing this for 6 years. Is our sixth year now, and at the end of the week, I'm sure that you will have gained, the people in the course will have gained a tremendous amount. But I want to tell them, I told them that we also gain. that the instructors, the rabbis, they're also gained because it invigorates us. They ask us questions that we didn't think about, and why do we do it like this, and is this really right, and is it really, does Rabbi so-and-so said this, and you're saying differently, and why is that?
They challenge us.
They challenge us, and it makes us think harder and do better. So I told them that they were actually helping us by coming to the course.
Yeah, but also I'm saying it gives you a chizuk when you see, when they value it, and they really get, they take something that you work so hard for, and you see them really, really giving it the value that you and it feels very good.
And Rabbi Kretzel, I would have to mention that you're basically the main instructor for this course. Even though I set it up and I arrange it, but I'm just arranging it. You're the main person taking them to the restaurants and the hotels and so on. That's really the meat of the issue over here.
Yeah, right.
That's really the tough work. Of course, all the rabbis are involved and all the staff is involved.
But the only reason I take care of it is I just want the Eilenton to know, not because as Epis I know more than anyone else, the rabbis here. It just happens to be that this particular program is the majority of it is based on more local type of establishments. And since my forte here, my main tafkid is to take care of more local type of facilities and the challenges and try to share with them a practical application of kashrus in these areas. That's the only reason I do most of the speaking.
Well, that's because the reason that we want to teach them that is because when these people will go out into wherever, the sticks, into the
and their own shetluch,
the thing that they're going to be most involved in is giving a local certification on a restaurant or something like that. We do have a question here. If the question is about the previous topic, if we cook in the morning for Shabbos, are we allowed to taste the meat to make sure it tastes, it's okay? I think the answer is that yes, because that is for covet of Shabbos. You're honoring the Shabbos by tasting it. Anyway, you're not eating it really. You're just tasting. I think that would be fine.
Yes.
So we had another thing. I always am amazed that Rabbi Heinemann takes the group to see the shechita here, the slaughtering at a slaughterhouse called Truth, T-R-E-U-T-H, which is not far from here, and they slaughter large animals. And he does it. It's only a small group can go in at one time. Only five at a time because it's a small slaughterhouse. And if you take too many people, there's animals hanging around and banging back and forth, and he's afraid that it could be dangerous. So he takes a very small group, and he goes through the same lesson for an hour and a half four times in a row, and with the same enthusiasm. That here's an animal, and here's why they're putting their heads like this, and watch these slaughterer, watch him shecht it, and now they're going to skin it and take out the insides and check the lungs, and it's really amazing that he puts in that effort, and the boys, the people appreciate it.
You know, I myself am a certified shochet, which I did years ago before I got totally involved in the administration part. As a rabbinic administrator, but I give the introduction to the group before they go there to give them a little bit of an idea. There's a lot of noise there, so to give them a little bit of a hakdama, a little bit of introduction before they actually see it, in order to assist them to quickly grasp what they're going to see the next day. And I always say the same thing, this is the Rabbi Goldberger mentioned, is that I try my best to share with them that if they're going to see animals getting slaughtered, they should not go. If they're going there with a Torah perspective, as if like imagine like a kohen who just is learning in the Beis HaMikdash,
this is how it would be done.
This is what has to be done. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is request. You know, this is how we need to do it. This is what you have to learn a chalav, how the knife is supposed to be set, and this is what the animal has to do. This is how you do your inspection. Imagine almost like a surgeon learning surgery. It takes on a whole different level of. Your attitude changes, it becomes more of a, obviously in this case since it's religious, it becomes more of a holy thing, and that's how I try to present it to them. So when they go in there, look at it with a different set of eyes than just watching a group of animals getting killed.
And you also, you did your introduction to that as well, I was watching that, with the showing them how to check a knife.
Having a participant come help me
check the knife to make sure that it's sharp enough that you really have to, you feel it. It's so sharp
that you can.
We're not talking about a nick, right? It's just even you feel there's a little bit of hesitation. So you taught that to them as well. And then we have we're getting applications for our women's program coming up in November. Our women's Mashkicha program for the women.
Right.
Because we do have women. Women can be qualified to supervise a restaurant. And we have women and other certifications that women working for them also.
Right.
And we felt it's about time that we started doing some formal training for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that coming up. We have quite a number of applications for that.
Yeah, I'd like just to make a comment on that. And that is, again, I myself take care of all the local hashgachas, and therefore those who that we use here, quite a few of the mashkichim in town, we use our women. And I've been doing this for the Olam. I never spoke to the Olam here, but I've been doing this for 27 years. And I can only tell you, consistently, the women have proven themselves to be top-notch mashgichim. And I keep repeating this, and if you don't mind if I can mention it, that part of it, the reason is that I see that, as you know, who have wives at home, they are very meticulous, very particular, very organized. They will, whatever you tell them, whatever needs to be done, will be done exactly the way it should be done. If you tell them that the rules and policies of the Star K ABC, that's what they do, and they enforce, and they're not afraid of the kitchen, nor are they afraid or intimidated in general of the workers or anybody who's there. And they will demand it. And if they don't know something, they will not pasken on their own, which is something we try to convey to all mashkichim. That
they shouldn't rule on their own. They should always contact
exactly,
the
that you're only the eyes and the ears of the Star K. You're not the brains of the Star K. You're there to report what you see. You're there to report what you hear. And if there's anything that deviates from the regular, normal procedures or policy, and something actually occurs, so don't paskin. Sometimes you will not realize something that's a nuanced difference, and therefore let us take the responsibility. You've done your job. You're there to watch. And the women are very much, very, very particular about that. They will not paskin ever. And just in general, extremely, extremely dependable.
We're not going to take them to see the slaughtering, though.
No, our intention is simply is to take those who, we're not even there to prepare mashgichim. We're there to take those who are ready,
right,
working as mashgichim, whether they're working as mashgichim in facilities throughout the United States or anywhere they may come from, or they are somehow attached to hashgacha, for example, like a Rebbetzin who's responsible
for
the shul kitchen,
right,
something that's related already. And we have already women who call us all the time, use us as many of you know, Star K is a clearinghouse for a lot of kashrus information. We're always ready and willing to answer any kashrus question. And so we want to simply enhance what they already know and maybe give them ideas that they might not realize from our experiences and to upgrade. And I have a feeling that, and I hope again, like just like with the men, that when they leave here after the seminar, that we will hear as a nicer response as we got from the kind words as we got from the Olam that was here this past week.
Right. There was an article on the web. They put it up on the Yeshiva World. They just put up some comments about this seminar.
Really?
Yeah, they put it up.
I didn't see.
Yeah, there was some information there about how well it went.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we'll wind down unless there are other questions, either by chat or hit 1-1 on your keypad. We're speaking here, time flies, speaking here for about a half an hour already.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
I just want to remind everybody this conference is once a month, on the last Wednesday of every month at noon Eastern Time. You can find us on the web at dimdim.com. The key name is Kosher, or if you want to call us, the phone number is 605-475-8590. The passcode is 528-5502. And I would just ask those who are joining us by web, if you could send us feedback, if you have any comments or anything you want to share with us, go to the tools bar on your screen, and you'll see there you can send a comment that will come to us, and we will be able to respond. We do have a question by phone. Go ahead. Can you hear us?
Thank you very much. Just on a practical note, regarding separating the fish and the meat, I think you said that the rabbi said that it was unhelpful to eat them together, but it seems that really you're not eating them so far apart. It seems like you eat the fish meal and then you take a drink and you change your dish and the silverware, but it's still on the stomach on a practical.
Okay, that's a very good question, and I'll just repeat it because I'm not sure it was heard. The question is, if the rabbis have stated that eating fish and meat together is dangerous, and so the solution for that is, let's say we have on Shabbos, we have gefilte fish, and then you drink something and eat something in between, and then you're going to eat the meat, well, it's all going to the same place, and it's all going to get mixed up. So why does that make a difference? I think the answer to that question is that we don't really know, because we're not really sure why it's dangerous in the first place when you eat it together. So it's not something that... It's something that we just accept as a given since the rabbi said it. So they're the ones that said it's dangerous if you eat it together. And they're the ones that that said if you separate between them and you drink something and eat something and your hands are clean, so then it's not dangerous. I don't think we know really why. What do you say?
I mean, I just feel that again, this is all conjecture here. I'm not sure. But it seems to me the fact that it's clearly from the way it's set up, the fish and meat issue, it's when fish and meat meet in that original state, before a person's stomach has had a chance to do any digestive juices to it, that somehow that's the point where the contaminants, for some reason, because I'll say that it's just like you have experts that say that this item is carcinogenic and that, and we believe them when they say this is unhealthy or that is, will give you cholesterol, whatever it may be. That they stated that if fish and meat will touch each other prior to getting, just like you have water hit its flour, that's when the souring occurs at that point. Whatever medical issues they're concerned about only occurs at that point. As soon as you've eaten the meat first and that has already been consumed and your stomach has started to digest it, that is not the problem that's going to occur. That's what it seems to me from what I've seen. And that's why I think the washing of the mouth is simply to make sure that any residual fish or meat that was eaten first in your mouth should not come in contact with the other gender prior to hitting your stomach.
Right. You know, some of these things we don't understand, but yet we go through the years, and then science does sometimes verify that what the rabbis have said. Not that we need that, but they do come to that sometimes. And in Talmud of Tanis, talks about the swine. It says that the stomach of the swine is similar. The system is similar to that of the human, and you have to be very careful. If the swine are ill, then the human should also be careful, because that could transfer to humans, and that's something that perhaps throughout the generation they didn't understand that. Why? What does the swine have to do with humans? But nowadays, with the swine flu pandemic, we can readily see that it's something that could affect us.
Exactly.
So I think that was a very good question, though. So on that note, we do have one more question we'll take. Anyone want to let us go, Rabbi Kurtzfeld?
It's okay.
Okay.
Whenever they're ready.
Can still stay with us?
Whenever, as long as you want.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I really enjoy your conference. I missed a few times. Tell me more about your seminar for men. When is it taking place, when and where?
The seminar for men is once a year. It takes place in Baltimore, and people come from all over the world. We've had people from many, many countries come here. They're mostly from the United States, but they come from all over. It's once a year in the summer, usually around this time of year, before Tisha B'Av, and we put out information a couple months before. There's an application on our website. Anybody who wants to apply can apply. We always have more applicants than we can take, but so there is interest in it. But before, around April time, May, if you look on our website, you should see some information.
I basically missed the last one. When is the next one taking place?
Next one will be in a year from now.
In Metz Hashem.
12 months. It takes, as you can see, we put a lot of effort into it, and it takes an inordinate amount of time. It's not only the week of the session, but it's prior preparing to it. A lot goes into that, And it's really not so practical for us to do it more than that. So it's once a year.
Question.
Oh, okay. There is another question here by chat. Some Sephardim don't combine dairy and fish. Is that by the same principle? Like we're talking about meat and fish. So the Sephardim don't combine dairy and fish. It is the same idea. There is a language in the Beis Yosef, in the Shulchan Aruch, that talks about fish and dairy being also a danger. And therefore, the Sephardim have followed that, and they don't mix, let's say, cheese and fish. They don't do that. Ashkenazim, people of Ashkenazim do. So yes, it is very similar. It is the same principle.
Exactly.
What do we do in our restaurant?
We don't do that.
We allow it because.
I mean, tell me, fish and dairy.
Fish and dairy.
We allow fish and dairy.
Because we're basically, because most of the people in the United States are not Sephardim.
Right.
If somebody has a particular issue, he could always ask, where's their, you got a typical fried fish, you're not going to have.
Right. I mean, one of the difficult things for Sephardi principle, according to their opinion, is
official
Sephardi.
Yeah,
we have our standard, Ashkenazi standard of Jewish cooking. To make it into Jewish cooking, Bishul Yisrael, and their Sephardim are more stringent, and it's very difficult environment.
Right. We try to accommodate them, but
we try to.
It's not
always practical.
But to answer your question briefly, yes, it is the same principle: dairy and fish. Okay, so thank you very much. Thank you everybody for joining us. We did have a very nice attendance today, and we appreciate you joining us. And we look forward to seeing you next month. Take care.